This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cool, crisp morning.
It was very cool and crisp morning.
It's in the mid-40s and we're all freezing.
Yeah, I know. That's the way it works here.
We're not just as young a as little bit of a breeze and it's cold. It's very cold.
It's a chill breeze that's blowing out there.
And Brendan's wearing shorts.
I know. Yep.
Do you know when I do midway on Tuesdays and it's cold and we're all dressed up? All the San Diego people are dressed up with jackets. The guests that are visiting from Minnesota are in shorts and t-shirts because the 52 degrees is a welcome breath of warmth for them. So
because there's no snow on the ground.
Because there's snow. Yeah, it's a matter of perspective.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
Did you enjoy your rain? It was super clear at my house this morning.
It was rain. I mean, I got my water bill yesterday. It's the lowest water bill I think I've ever had since I've lived in that house. It was less than $300 for 2 months, and that never happens. But I haven't had the sprinklers on in 8 weeks, maybe something like
that. Good, then you can keep them off for a little while.
Yeah,
I hope they've been off longer than 8 weeks because this is April.
Well, my gardeners turned them back on for a brief period, but I turned them back off again.
Don't water shame him.
Trying to help.
I got almost a half an inch of rain, and somewhere between 500ths and a tenth of an inch fell last night.
I did hear it rain a little bit last night. I think it was probably around 9 o'clock or so that it rained some, and it was wet this morning when I went out to get in the car to come over here.
But you said you still had clouds in the north half of the county.
It was cloudy and overcast this morning. I didn't see stars and clearer skies till I got closer to the coast.
Yeah, I didn't take a close look at it, so I didn't.
I did because I was looking for the moon to see whether I had ambient light from a bulb or the moon.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how cold it was and was looking at the thermometer in the car rather than the sky. So that's going to blow out today, supposedly.
Before sunrise. Maybe.
Well, we'll see.
And, well, David, as the resident meteorologist, I saw yesterday that today would be sunny this afternoon, just cooler. Is that what you predict?
I think it's going to be sunny this morning.
Okay. But, and that's it? No more rain for a little while?
I don't think so.
All right.
Well, that would be nice.
That would be lovely.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. We complain when it's too dry. We're complaining that it's too wet.
No, we've had this conversation.
Mark, help me
I'm
here.
Okay with I want the rain. I want lots of it. I just don't want it three days in a row and every. Yeah, I'd rather have it spread out a little bit.
That's just all. Wondering for you guys, did you guys get hail? Because
I had a lot of hail.
Yeah. This is like the third time this year or fourth time it's been hailing this year. I've never seen it hail this much in California before, so. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think we got that much in Scripps, but...
We did up where we live, and it was particularly loud. I think I shared a video with you, maybe, because it was hitting all of the lights in our path, and it was really loud.
Oh.
Adam said that on his way down the mountain from Ramona yesterday, that Iron Mountain was all white yesterday morning from the hail.
Really?
We had a bunch yesterday. Yeah, we had a bunch yesterday. Yeah, as I told you, that dark cloud came in from the north, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not complaining. I want the rain.
Okay, because it kind of
like
sounded
it spread
like
out
complaint.
A little bit more.
But you know, if we've had that much hail, you know what that means?
Yeah, a lot of.
Damaged hail foliage. Damage. Yeah.
Yes,
a lot of hail damage is going to start showing up within the next week or so. Yep. People are going to wonder what's going on with their plants and going to have little pock marks all over them.
Right.
I saw a plant that looked like it had hail damage day before yesterday, And when I mentioned it to the customer, she nodded at that was plausible. You know, normally people will say, oh, no,
and that's no, it doesn't hail
not,
right
no, yeah. that's not possible. Right. But she was totally on board.
Yeah.
Good.
Well,
did that give you a nice warm fuzzy?
It did.
At least you had one person that believed you.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah. So the softer foliage stuff, bougainvilleas are one of the ones that shows up pretty frequently after hailstorm.
And you wouldn't think it's the sagos with their hard fronds. They pit really well. They show
I don't know that
well
I've ever noticed easily. That. I don't know that I've ever noticed okay, it on sago palms.
I will show you.
Oh,
I'll put some on your desk so that when you come in morning, you can see it.
Okay. Well, it'll be either be that or
scale.
Or scale.
Scale, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
on the underside of the foliage.
Yeah, it looks
a lot of the succulents will come in with damage,
yeah,
too.
All the agave, soft body all the stuff, right? Exactly. Yeah.
So that stuff should start filtering through customer service within the next week or so.
Maybe we'll start today.
Maybe today. Yeah, people get out and about today.
Yeah, better the earlier hail was. Yeah, we might start seeing some damage.
We have classes today, George?
We do have classes. At 9 a.m. in San Diego, it is companion planting with Kathleen, and in Poway at 9:30, spring color with Brian Robert.
Now,
our very own Brian, but the spring color, you know, during Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was like, great, look at this weather. It's beautiful.
Right.
It's sunny. Let's get out there and plant those flowers. But the last couple of days, I don't know.
Well, let's
rough.
Do it. Let's go with today.
Okay. We'll go
and
with today.
And it is going to be cooler, but it is going to be sunny.
And next week in San Diego at 9 a.m., it's Bring the Heat. It's all about peppers with Kyra. And in Poway, rainwater harvesting and permaculture with Chris. I don't think you're looking at me like Chris who?
That's exactly, you are outstanding,
Forrest. Well, it's a quizzical look that you give. There are other terms for that. Yeah, tilting your head like a shepherd. Chris has a company on permaculture and rainwater harvesting. Oh. He's a consultant.
Oh,
hence the class.
Hence the class.
I gotcha. Yep. Okay. Is there anything? Oh, I see. Let's talk about that a little more while we look to see what's going on at the Balboa Park Foundation.
Oh, I can tell you what's going on at Balboa Park if you want.
Oh, if you got it.
Is that what you're looking for?
That's what I was looking
for. Okay. So today let's see, what time are they doing that? 9 a.m. It's the Turtle and Tortoise Society Adoption and Sale. There are a couple of workshops for some Japanese flower, which we're not going to go through the different types. And
no, when you were saying that,
flower arrangements.
And there's tomorrow's a bonsai class at 8 a.m.
You were talking about the Turtle and Tortoise Society starting at 9 a.m. and I was thought they're all going to run away before 10. So
probably not. And if they did start running away, you probably can corral them pretty easily, right?
Catch them.
That's it.
Yeah, they don't move. Typically, they don't move very quickly.
You'll be able to get to them.
Yeah.
Well, why do they always win the race then, against the really fast hare?
Persistence.
They're slow and steady.
Okay.
Exactly. Let me have one of my notes. Oh, you know what looked really nice out in front of the store? The spicy nectar plums.
Yes, they
are
do.
All
I did
leafed
notice
out.
That.
They're beautiful. I mean,
you know what I was noticing out there? In spite of their beautiful foliage, and actually the trees that were out there were so well formed and rounded. They were big. They looked like 15-gallon trees, but I think they're in 5-gallon cans, aren't they?
I believe so.
But the dahlias, did you see the dahlias around the base
of those? Oh, the dahlias are, they're
That's
really
what I
nice.
Thought you were going to say.
They're really nice this time of the year. They are in peak season. We usually get them every spring they start coming in. But dahlias are neat flowers. It's a really pretty flower.
Big range of variety.
Everything from dinner plate to the
right.
to the little pom pom ones, and I like the little golf ball dahlias.
Me too.
I think that's a really elegant, really elegant flower.
You know, I've been trying to avoid this the whole show, but I cannot keep leaning like that. Oh, it did it quietly, didn't it?
Yeah, didn't make much noise.
I didn't realize there were so many dahlias until we were in San Francisco last summer, or early summer, and we were at the conservatory and botanical gardens up there, and they had hundreds of different varieties, all these different name varieties that I didn't even know existed, and shapes and colors. It was incredible.
It's beautiful up there, but if you just went to the Del Mar Fair, I'm sorry, the San Diego County Fair at Del Mar on occasion, you'd see hundreds of varieties of dahlias.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They have them
at
the actual flower show, right. not the display area, but inside
the competitive
building.
Shows.
There are some beautiful flowers, not just dahlias. There's all kinds of stuff that show up there.
We had a customer come in yesterday to ask about the flower out front. You know, the one that they have on display at the fairgrounds every year, and it was dahlias.
Yeah. We had a customer that lived up the street from us when we lived on Galveston Street over in Bay Park. And he would come in every year and buy gladiolas, gladiola corms from us. And that's what he did, is he grew gladiolas for show, and then would take them to the fair in the summertime.
I would think that if you purchased some from you, that you wouldn't have to do it every year.
Well, the new varieties.
I don't know if he did it for new varieties or what.
But regularly curious.
He was in. It was like clockwork. He was in every year and would buy them. I don't know. Maybe they would get infested with thrips.
Yeah.
Which I'm grinning because I have a bag of gladiolas in
from
the garage
2 years ago.
Last year.
Oh, okay.
And maybe I'll plant them this year.
Yeah, they're probably
not
petrified at this point.
If they're not dust, yeah.
They make such good cut flowers.
They really do.
It's a neat plant, but make sure you dust them before you.
Yeah.
Well, used to be dust them with seven, but right. Now it's not
something
seven
else.
Anymore. It's one of the thrins.
My narcissus are waning. Their narcissus bloom is waning, but the Dutch iris are just starting to bloom, and it popped up on my phone that 5 years ago this month I took pictures of the Dutch iris blooming, and it's this week, it seems like every year, almost like clockwork.
Ours are blooming as well, and as you said, the daffodils, narcissus are starting to fade, but the freesias are there.
I was going to ask about freesias.
They're looking
freesias.
Really
they
good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we went to Borrego last week, and it was just for the day, and we went out over Montezuma Grade, and then we came up over Banner Grade up through Julian, and the daffodils in Julian were just going crazy. They were everywhere. It's really, really pretty when they start blooming up there. There's just thousands and thousands of them planted all over the place. It's really neat. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to talk to you. 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. George, you were saying when you were recently over in Arizona, you went to an olive farm?
We went to an olive place that's kind of, what is it called now, agritourism, where
they have
this beautiful olive grove. I think they had seven, if the number's correct in my small pea brain, I think 7,000 trees.
That's a lot of trees.
They produce small batch olive oils that are, I was writing our friends that we visited, I need to get more because they are incredibly tasty. They have like with lime infused olive oils and some chocolate. Anyway, it's phenomenal, but it was a great place. But while I was chatting with the gentleman that gave us the tour, I was asking about the olive fly, if they have a problem with it. And he said that the heat there comes at a time when the fly would be active, and therefore they don't have the same problem that we have.
That's interesting.
They don't have to spray with the clay to help minimize the damage to the fruit.
Well, I remember when that first appeared in San Diego, and we had the traps for them.
The right. Torula right. Yeast?
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
Right, yeast had, traps, right.
But I think that we have another trap for them now. Right? Isn't there a pheromone trap or a stinky trap?
One of the green boxes has a olive fruit fly trap.
I still think the commercial folks are still spraying with clay.
I think the kaolin because it was a serious problem there for a while. There's an olive oil place in Old Town. There's a Temecula Valley Olive Oil Company in Old Town, and they do the infused oils.
What made this place unique was, in addition to having oils that they make on spot, they do a lot of vinegars as well. Is they have an incredible food bar, coffee bar, wine, and then they have outdoor seating and venues, so people come in. We went on a Sunday, I think it was a Sunday before Easter. It was packed. There were lines out the door for people to gather their food and then go sit outside with these little fire pits and music. It was actually a very nice venue, and I would go back to visit it where I in
Arizona. Not your friends, but to the
those guys as well, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I remember my dad telling me that when he was a teenager up near Balboa and Genesee in that area, Claremont, he said there was an abandoned olive orchard up there. Because they used to go driving around through it. But he said there were just olive trees.
Where was this?
Near Balboa and Genesee.
Okay.
Oh. He said there was an abandoned olive orchard up there for a long time before they developed it.
Do the hike by my house on Miller Ranch. There's old olive trees on the hillsides there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm
guessing way back when that they had.
And there's also, there was some in Poway, too, off of Poway Road. Remember when we had to go pull a car out of that?
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was an old olive orchard.
It's an old
inside story. We didn't actually pull the car. We just went and visited it, right?
No, we pulled it out.
Did we?
Yeah, we pulled it out and towed it over closer to the main road.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ever in Arizona outside of Phoenix, I would encourage you to go to the Queen Creek Olive Mill.
Queen Creek. I'll have to.
It's very good.
I'll have to make a
note
of that.
Well worth it.
That sounds like it. I was reading an article.
Well, before you move off from that,
go ahead.
The olive fly and kaolin clay, Kevin just had helped out. But I wonder if that would work on the black fig fly, because I want to bring this to black fig fly, because we're coming into
fig season soon.
And since it hit me last year, I'm guessing it's going to hit me again this year. And I'm old
irritated
and bitter, as you
yes.
as you guys know.
Irritated,
well, you were
yes.
bitter before you were old, but it just adds to it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, it lets it surface more.
Exactly.
Because you know, I always
now you have an excuse to be bitter.
I always
before
used
it was
to keep
there.
Things down before I would.
Oh yeah.
Yes, because I was. So I wonder if that clay would work. And do we still have that bag of clay that somebody left at the nursery? Or did we give it to somebody already?
I thought you gave it to somebody.
I think I did.
Yeah.
Darn it.
We could probably purchase it maybe from Kevin.
But you said the heat.
Well, that's what the gentleman told me, and I'd like to explore that and learn more about it, but that's what he said.
You know those furnace, they're like little launch tubes that have propane heaters for construction?
I think that's not going to be
Do you think if I blasted the fig tree with that, it would get
Probably
rid of the flies?
Probably not.
No?
But I was wondering, what I was wondering, the bio-advanced systemic for fruit trees, I wonder if that would work, because it's a soil drench.
I don't know.
We'd have to look at the label and see.
I don't know. Because they're, maybe, but they're not going to be ingesting it, probably.
No, that's right.
They're going to be in their little shell
they're
waiting
just hanging
to get
out
their,
under
yeah,
there.
To get their wings.
But I wonder if it would work if when they
emerge.
When they emerge from their pupa state, if it would act as a contact kill.
Ooh. What about putting down weed barrier right now under the tree?
You don't think they could get through it?
No.
That's actually not a bad idea. I wonder.
Might be worth a try.
I like that. Well, I have the beneficial nematodes sitting on my desk. We have those new dry ones that don't require refrigeration. And I was going to do that, but I emailed Vince, our extension UCS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vince Lasagno.
Retired, emeritus. And he said he didn't think that the nematodes would be able to get through the pupa case. So I had to throw out that great idea. And then what was my next brilliant? Oh, the Neem Max, which probably won't do it either. So now we'll go with Weed
water.
Barrier. Weed Barrier. I like that. Vince suggested letting my chickens out under the fig tree.
Are they going to be able to?
But they would scratch the surface and get the pupa and eat them.
Oh. I didn't realize they would be that big.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Chickens pick aphids off my cabbage, so I don't know if...
They pick aphids off your cabbage?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Destroying the leaves?
Oh, no, they'll destroy the leaves, too. But they sit there and pick for the longest time getting the aphids before they go for the greens. Balanced diet.
I guess so.
I don't know if people understand how important this is now that this affects me.
Yeah. Well, you can report back on a...
I think I'll try the weed clock. I think that's worth trying.
So now this is for the black
fig fly.
Really becoming a problem last year here.
Yes.
Well, for David.
Well, right. It was a problem for some people prior, but David didn't care till last year, right?
Well, I didn't care, I think, is a little coarse.
Okay. You were uninterested.
I was slightly lacking interested. In concern a little bit.
Until you ate some figs that were...
My figs started ending up on the ground. That's totally different than your figs, for instance.
And of interest is last year, and we've talked about this before in the air, but we did not have that problem. Capri would eat them. I would eat them off the tree without any problem. However, different from years past when you would go out and just grab a fig and eat it, I cut it in half and look for things moving, which I didn't do in the past.
Yeah, you just have to be vigilant.
Yeah,
there was I was reading an article in one of the citrus industry updates, and one of the problems that they're having back east in Florida now is chili thrips, which the little teeny thrip. They're a millimeter long, and a lot of the citrus groves back in Florida are covered now, with fabric to keep the it under control, but the thrips are so small that they get through the fabric.
Wow.
So now they're battling infestations of these chili thrips back there. So,
we had the chili thrips here a couple years ago, pretty badly with roses.
Yes, they still do.
Right, but the Union Tribune had a whole article about it and ways to treat it, etc.
And speaking of roses, we're starting to see. Rose slug damage showing up.
Rose slug.
We are. They hit ours at our house. So therefore, this rust. Is like David's figs, the rose slug has become a personal problem
for us. Before we move totally away, I want to do a quick commercial. Surround wettable powder, kale, and clay, available at Grand Jettos.
Kevin,
yeah, yes. You were correct. He does have it. So I guess if I say it enough times, maybe he'll bring me a bag this afternoon and I won't have to go buy one. We'll see.
Are you going to try it?
I don't think there's anything to lose there, is there?
Well, you'd have to do it very early because they get the immature fruit.
It's like voting.
Early and often.
Yes.
Early and often.
All right.
I guess I need to do it as soon as the fruit starts to form.
Correct.
Which it has not yet.
It should be any time, though.
Ours are fruiting. I've got smaller golf ball size fruit.
Yeah. We were talking about rose slug.
Right. Yeah.
And you really need to pay attention to that because as soon as you see the damage on it, you got to get on. You got to treat it because once it gets going, it will.
That's it why will the just, contact just, yeah. Yeah, the it, contact controls are best.
The three in one, the 3-in-1, the BioAdvance 3-in-1 is the one that I usually use.
As
you know, why I'm laughing at you right now, Ken?
Why?
Because I think of BioAdvance, I think of the blue bottle.
The blue bottle,
And roses.
But what is a rose slug?
It's a sawfly larva.
Yeah.
And
duh.
Yeah. But you know what? That's not a real fly. It's a wasp.
Ah, didn't know that.
And so it looks like a little caterpillar. And so a lot of people organically would go with BT.
Yeah.
Because BT kills caterpillars, but it won't do a
thing. Won't do that.
Because it's
not. Right. But spinosad will. So if you want to keep your organic... path to killing things, then actually any contact killer will work. Horticultural oil, neem oil, and spinosad. Spinosad will just give you longer lasting results.
You know, there's a sawfly that gets on ornamental plums too.
right. and regular plums. It's, yeah. it's that one's a pear sawfly.
Is that that's what? Yeah, yeah.
And that one actually looks more like a slug or
bird dropping.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Is that the one it's I call slimy. The pear slug?
Yes.
Yes.
And they will typically be on the underside of the foliage, at least on rose slugs.
And you know where they pupate?
Yeah, in the ground.
In the ground. They drop to the ground and pupate.
I did not
get those chickens out there.
We need to. That's a great idea. Except for they trash everything.
They do.
So now I have to decide: do I want to tolerate maggots in my figs or lack of mulch?
What about I've seen a lot of organic small scale farms where they have what they call them like tractors or whatever that they move around. So their chickens, you put the chickens there for 2 or 3 days and then you move them somewhere else.
No, they make the portable right. cages.
Yeah,
so yeah, I've seen that where you can just like kind of drag it.
Or you can make your own. Just put it around the fig tree, shoo the chickens in there for a few days, or for the day and take them out and put them back each day. Is that too much work? Is that the face
darn
you're giving
straight
me?
It okay. is. Are you kidding me?
That was a too much work face.
Yes, that was the okay. too much work face.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. I was reading an interesting article the other day. I think my friend Tom Perkins sent it to me. But there's over in Maui, they're growing blue agave, and they're making, well, technically you can't call it tequila, but they're making Hawaiian tequila.
A tequila-like drink from
Hawaii. And apparently the agaves just grow like crazy in the volcanic soil that they have over there. Hmm. So they've got plenty of room to do it, that's for sure, now that they're not growing sugarcane over there anymore. But I've got the name of it somewhere. I'll have to get some and try it out.
And let us know.
Yeah. Well, bring some in.
That's right. We'll sample it.
Well, we have got citrus sampling. And other things in the morning. What the heck?
Yeah.
I was watching an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies last night, and Granny made up some of her special elixir, and it was going to be part of the voting campaign for that season, and everybody was drinking just a tiny shot of her elixir, was knocking the city folk over. She had to thin it out.
Well, who are the old ladies in the Waltons that were always making moonshine?
Oh, the sisters?
Yeah.
I can't remember their name. I know you're talking about.
They called it recipe, I think, is what, so, what they referred to it as. But, yeah. Speaking of Hawaiian stuff, we've actually got fruiting pineapples in stock.
They look good.
They look very nice. And not only are they fruiting, but they've already started pupping, so the new plants are starting to form.
I noticed that too, because I was thinking I could get two plants for the price of one, and I could start a plantation in my backyard.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I don't think they grow quite as quickly as they do elsewhere,
greenhouse with extra humidity and such.
Which is
my dreams.
Yeah. And, you know, just trying to make it real.
Even though they seem to be ubiquitous with Hawaii, they are not Hawaiian plants. They're Central American.
Well, much like when you think of macadamia nuts, people go to Hawaii as well. They're from Australia.
That's true.
Yeah, so
yeah,
lots of things make
their
way.
Chocolate-covered macadamias grew on the trees in Hawaii.
In the cooler part, so it doesn't melt. Yes, that's true, gotcha. David. Yeah.
That's a crop that I'm kind of surprised has not had a bigger impact in San Diego. because they grow like crazy.
They do,
and they produce a lot.
Like crazy,
yes, yeah. They do.
But it just never.
Why
it, it never caught on as a cash crop? I have no idea. I have no unless I don't. I'm guessing it has to do with money,
right?
And well,
most decisions are based on that.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when it comes to farming. So maybe there's just not enough money in it to make it worthwhile for the work that you have to put into it. But there, you know, it's a pretty bulletproof plant.
It really is.
You know,
do you remember how many macadamias I had on my tree last year and how many macadamias I got?
No.
I had a bazillion.
And
I counted
the rats
there was one bazillion. And between the rats and the squirrels, I had less than a dozen.
Yeah,
they ate them all. And they eat them before I harvested them.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, it might be, well, but I but think from they a, have them over there.
But as far as the trees are concerned, though, I mean, there's so hardly easy, anything bro. That yeah.
The tree is draped right now with
new flowers,
the racemes, okay. The spikes. Mm-hmm. They right. haven't opened yet, but it looks. It reminds me of an old bearded, beaded curtain. You know, a doorway yeah. curtain. The tree is almost completely screened by all of the flower stems that are hanging. Down off of it. It looks
flowers
it's going to be amazing shortly.
And they're very, once they open, those are very fragrant. It's a wonderful yeah. plant.
Really yeah. is.
And to your point, Ken, they're very easy to grow, as you said. They're yeah. bulletproof. But the other side of it, to David's point, because I've experienced this as well, is the rodents are yeah. all over it.
On one hand, are you Tavia?
Yes, that's right. You're both right.
I'm going to work on the rodent population this year. I'm going to put a plank, a fence picket, you know, the 4x6x whatever. Yeah. I'm going to hang it. Yeah. I'm going to drape it into the tree and across the fence so they'll have an access. I'm going to put food on that plank, and then I'm going to put traps on that plank and see if I can't control the rats from the neighbor's woodpile for this season, because I would like some of my macadamias.
That would be nice.
Yeah. yeah.
And the okay. squirrels, but okay.
I'm doing it. Oh, black holes. Ground squirrels, black holes.
The gopher trap?
The gopher trap.
Right.
They fall for that?
In the last week, I have gotten a gopher, a rat, and maybe a couple of squirrels in a black hole gopher trap.
I know I've gotten, it's been a while, but I've gotten rats in it with a black hole before.
Chicken scratch and a black hole.
That's what they go after. May have to. Well, actually, I haven't noticed a rat.
I'm just thinking of the off-label use. It works well.
It yeah. seems to be quite
right.
Efficient.
Efficient. Acceptable. Good. Yes.
Good.
I'm actually a big when it comes to rat control. I'm a big fan of the tomcat traps. I like them much better than the Victor traps.
That's going to go on my plank.
Well, that's because they're much easier to use.
They are much easier to use.
And they're much easier to reuse.
Right.
Definitely easier.
Because they have a big handle on them, so you can clear them and reuse them without having to touch anything.
Exactly. Hence the much easier to reuse.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I was just defining it a little bit.
I've put those on our roof line because we've had a problem with rats getting into the house between the upper story and the lower story. And because we have a little bit of a slope, I used clamps, and I just clamped them to the tile, put a little bit of bait, and would look out occasionally and notice that we caught one. And then one day I was walking in the backyard, and I guess when it snapped, it was a little bit more violent of a snap because the whole thing was lying down on the ground. It fell off the roof.
Oh.
With another successful catch. So it's a great product. Highly recommend them.
The Tomcat.
The Tomcat rat trap, yeah. Yes.
And then we were talking about the gopher population this year has just been
amazing.
Out of control.
Yeah.
Adam's at our Poway store. He lives up in Ramona. He's
one of our coworkers. We don't need to name names.
No. Oh.
One of our coworkers.
Well, now that I've already done it, but one of our coworkers, he has cleared over 120?
In excess of 120, yes.
Yeah. That's just amazing to me.
That's this year.
Yeah, yeah. This season.
Right.
And he's done that with the gopher hawk, I believe.
just to go back for a moment, I have a Chuck just texted me the Baldwin sisters. Are those the sisters from the Waltons?
The Waltons.
Yeah. Okay. You were going to say Little House on the Prairie, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. The Baldwin sisters. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. That was going to bug me. But the Gopher Hawk works very well. And you had two yellow bars.
I have two yellow bands, which for those who have a Gopher Hawk know that it's been tripped, and you may have
may have been
successful. I don't know yet. I haven't pulled them out.
Oh, you haven't confirmed? It's been,
well, it was hailing and raining. And
how dare
so
you
I will
call
get out there today and look at those two.
I get yellow bands all the time on falsely tripped
ones. I have very few falses, and you know that. I share those with you when I do.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was...
Yeah. I will let you know today whether we've been successful.
Okay. I do like the Gopher Hawk, too, especially right now while the soil is soft.
When the soil gets
dry...
It's harder to use, yeah. But when it's damp like this, it's a great tool and very easy to employ.
And, you know, I'm still a big fan of the... Well, I'm lucky. I don't have gopher problems. And I'm thinking it must be because there's so much rock in the soil.
I would argue most of us have a lot of rock. It might be also where you live.
Yeah, I've never had a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a gopher in my neighborhood, or at least in the house I'm in now.
I am so sorry. Kevin also texted me that it was the Baldwin sisters. I didn't see that. I apologize, Kevin.
But the Maccabee traps are... It's a very good standby trap. They're just more gruesome to deal with.
May I complain for a moment?
About what?
Maccabee traps.
What about?
You used to be able to keep a Maccabee trap forever, and it would always work. But I think they don't spring as strongly, as longly.
As they used to.
I guess it's possible. I don't know.
I love the Maccabees.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't seem to be as sensitive as they used to be or something. I don't know. It could be me.
Probably. But
you have to.
Well, they've been around for 100 years. I'm sure over the years the manufacturing process and or the materials may have changed.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so I have to replace them more often.
Okay.
And I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Did you just roll your eyes?
No. No.
Okay, because it kind of looked like that. It
sounded like it.
It did. I heard it.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this. Bob, stay on the line. We're going to talk to you when we come back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go down to Otay Mesa, where Bob is waiting. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned a flower that glows at night. And my question is that something that you guys would carry? And would it be, can you grow it in San Diego?
It was the GMO snapdragon or
petunia.
Oh,
the petunia.
Yeah, they're on order, but we haven't gotten them in yet, and we were just getting a few in to see what they would do. I'll have to check with Brian and find out.
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either. I can't remember the name of them now.
Glow in the dark petunia.
But you should be able to find it. You should be able to find it online. None of our growers are producing it at this point in time.
Oh, okay.
But so it's called Firefly. Firefly petunia.
Oh, yeah. So if you look online for Firefly petunia, you should be able to find somebody that you can order it online from.
Yeah, but would it grow in our area, though, in San Diego?
It should. Yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah. You know, I notice I'm in one room and my radio's in another room. When I'm talking on a phone, I can hear it on a radio like maybe 5 or 6 seconds later.
Yeah, there's right. A little bit of a delay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Take care.
At a base cost of $29, residents of the 48 contiguous states can get a petunia with flowers that look white during the day, but in the dark, the plant glows a faint green.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
What did you say, $29?
$29. Yeah. Well, that's the base cost. That probably doesn't include tax, license, dock, smog, and shipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it is. Yeah, we've got some on order. I'm not sure when they're going to come in, but we will report back when we get them. We're going to go up to Rancho Bernardo where Tom is waiting. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got three citrus trees, two Valencia and one tangerine, and two questions. One is we've been in the house now 6 or 7 years. We inherited the trees, and they were kind of bitter, but weren't real sweet oranges, fruit. So somebody told me to put down Epsom salt to kind of neutralize the acid in the soil, and that seemed to work. But I'm not sure I should do that every year.
Probably not. And usually, to get citrus to get sweeter, it's a lack of trace elements. Usually, copper is the one. And there's actually a citrus grower's mix of micronutrients that you can use a couple of times a year to help keep the flavor up on citrus.
Oh, okay. And next question is that one is a tangerine tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year after we moved in, it produced like crazy. And then the next year, it didn't produce very much. And now, last year, it didn't produce much. But now I notice buds coming out on the tree all over the place. Mm-hmm. I'm using citrus fertilizer on the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to get on a regular feeding schedule with a good citrus and avocado food. And they are heavy feeders, so you have to stay up with it. But I've seen that happen where they alternate a heavy year and then a not so heavy year.
Tango.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is dramatic. The buds coming out now. I mean, there's 10 times as many as there were last year, at least, if not more.
Yeah.
So what would be a good schedule for fertilizing?
It depends on the fertilizer that you're using, but take a look at the label and it will tell you. I know, like with the Grow Power citrus and avocado food, I think they recommend every 8 weeks.
I've never read the label, so I couldn't tell you.
how about they don't have sprinklers on, but how about watering?
Watering
water lately, no big deal.
Yeah, they're not gonna need any for a while at this point. But
if they're old trees too, right? You said.
Yes, oh yeah, they're probably 20, 25 years old.
Yeah, so what you want to do is you want to turn the hose on so that the water is just barely trickling out and it's getting absorbed into the ground as fast as it's coming out of the hose, and soak the tree for 3 or 4 hours. And then when you do that, you only need to do that about every 2 to 3 weeks in the summertime.
Oh, really?
Every 1 to 2 weeks.
Bunched together.
Yeah.
Now,
so I don't have to do that for each tree, or would the water get to all three trees?
That manual watering might be part of the reason you get varying amounts of fruit off the tree. Some varieties can be alternate bearing, but summer water becomes very important if you want the flowers to stay on and the fruit to stay on.
Right.
And so watering that entire area under the canopy of the tree from drip line to drip line about every, what do they say, 10 to 14 days in the summer on a well-established mulch tree?
And yeah, in the hot part of the year, once a week or once every 10 days, and then every 2 weeks otherwise, roughly.
Okay, sounds good. Just, and do it for how long, did you say, drip water?
Whatever it takes to soak down 1 to 2 feet all the way around the tree.
Okay, so how do I measure that?
You might have to
go out and let the hose run for a while and then go out and dig down and check. But usually it's going to be a couple hours usually.
Right.
2 to 3 hours.
Well, I've got a measure for that.
Okay.
Last question, I'm sorry.
No problem.
The fourth tree is a is a lemon tree.
Mm-hmm.
But the lemons are huge. And I was told that they were a special brand of lemon. We don't use them. We give them away to our neighbor who distributes them. But we're told they were grown strictly for the rind. Is that correct? Because they're no good to us.
There is a variety of lemon called Ponderosa lemon, and the fruit on those is huge. I mean, I've seen them they're about half the size of a football.
Right, grapefruit size.
And they typically have really thick rind on them as well. But I don't know of a specific lemon variety that's grown specifically for the rind though.
Zest. These are big lemons.
Yeah. The Eureka types are used better, or they're more used for zesting. Should we take this opportunity to talk about HLB again and moving of citrus from a quarantine area to?
Since he said he gives them away.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good segue.
Okay, be very careful. Rancho Bernardo is the center of one of the quarantine areas in San Diego County of HLB, the fatal and incurable citrus disease, and it is spread by a little bug called the Asian citrus psyllid, and it has been found in Rancho Bernardo, and so they do not want citrus leaves and stems primarily, but fruit if it has not been washed and cleaned, moved in the Rancho Bernardo area and out of the Rancho Bernardo area.
Oh, okay.
So be very careful with that and make sure that the fruit has been washed and stems and leaves have been removed if you are going to move it.
Okay. Well, just that one tree. So I'll tell my neighbor that she should do that. There aren't that many on the tree. Well, that's not full. But I'll do that. That's good information. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You bet. Bye.
Now, a number of tangerines or mandarins are alternate bearing, right?
Right.
I had not thought about that or noticed that. And I always thought any alternate bearing was me.
No, there are some that are alternate
tango
bearing.
Tango is listed. Ella was telling me that tango is listed as an alternate bear. And I think I've noticed that.
Yeah. So there are a couple, and I don't remember which ones, and something we can look up and post.
Tango,
but there are some.
Of them.
Right.
Yeah. But it's covered with blooms right now, and it's covered with fruit.
Which
last
is good.
Year I didn't get much fruit.
Because it's alternate bearing. Makes perfect sense. It wasn't. This is one of the rare cases where it's not your fault.
Well,
I would still presume it to be my fault.
Okay.
You want to run the classes again?
In San Diego at 9 o'clock, we have companion planting with Kathleen, and in Poway at 9:30, spring color with Brian.
Oh, you know what I saw in the houseplant department the other day? I may have to get one to see if I can kill it just as easily as the other ones. The variegated Ming Aurelias. Have you seen
those? I did not see it.
It's a neat looking plant. It's a really, really neat looking plant. But man, that is a hard plant to grow, in my opinion.
I agree with you, but I've had customers come in and say, I can't grow anything, but the Ming Aurelia grows for me. And it doesn't make any sense because I've always thought it to be a temperamental.
Right.
Yeah, I've never been able to figure it out. It's one of my favorite houseplants. I think it's a really neat plant. But I have never been able to grow it well myself.
Maybe you should call Garden Talk next week and ask if they have any recommendations on how to get that to grow properly for you.
They might. The other one that we had
I did the smart aleck comment here
is the South African mahoganies that we have in. It's
in houseplants?
In houseplants. They're beautiful. Beautiful trees. Absolutely gorgeous. And I had when I lived on Fairfield Street in Claremont, I put one in my front yard, and when we sold the house and we were getting ready to move, it was getting to the point where the buttress roots were starting to form at the base of the trunk, and then I drove by several years later and they had cut it down, unfortunately. But it was a beautiful tree. It was absolutely gorgeous tree.
Until it wasn't?
Until it was no more. I think it's South African mahogany. Kahaya is what it was also known as. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We'll be back next week with another hour. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.